Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, download the Odyssey app. It's free to download. Free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. Happy Monday, everybody.
Thank God it's Monday. I know Kevin's a big fan of WeWork. I know that's one of his favorite companies.
It is.
Thank God it's Monday. I do, actually. I love stories of fraud. Kevin Cerritos joining me today. Coach Hurd's on the road. He was worried about cell phone service.
I thought it was his Achilles.
No, it's not his Achilles. I've double checked. I've made sure, and it's not a calf strain.
Okay,
so we don't have pre Achilles either.
All right, good.
So he says his calf is intact. So we're all excited. Kevin is going to be joining us today. Of course, the MC of Fun and Games, host of Right or the Right Trivia Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m. CerritoEntertainment.com is the website. Twitter, X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Hey, great to be here on a Monday. Big weekend in sports and in Memphis and the world, right? It was everywhere. It was a big weekend everywhere this weekend.
So I cannot remember. Jeff had an anecdote this morning, because like that's the other bizarre thing on Saturday is I kind of got the ball rolling on the news that Fred Smith had died. So one of my buddies who was in town for the show with me, mm-hmm. He got a text, and he comes back during the opening act. And Joy Bomb, which is a local band that was opening at Live at the Garden. Shout outs to them. They put on a great show. I think everyone's like, I've never heard of these guys, but like everyone, you could tell everyone's like looking up their iTunes profile and like, oh, okay, like oh, cool. Starting to add some of that music. So they were great. Shout out to them. But he comes back and he's like, hey, I just got a text from a buddy. He's like, this is not going to be public, but Fred Smith died. And so then I immediately tell Jeff, hey, I'm hearing a rumor that this has happened. But then my phone stops working because AT&T, whenever you're at Live at the Garden, you maybe bat 110 on your phone actually functioning. But then I started circling around to some people that maybe would have known, and I started to feel pretty confident, not to where I was going to fire up Twitter because I don't view myself as a scoopage guy, but I felt pretty confident that I wasn't steering Jeff in the wrong direction. And then so he was able to confirm it later that night. But it was such a bizarre, you know, because he said he had an anecdote of someone that had said, hey, listen, you know, the U.S. bombed Iran today. And the news that hit me harder was Fred Smith died. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that says something about my online presence or whatnot. I totally agree, because it was that weird moment of, okay, you know, he is 80. It's not as if this was on the bingo chart, like, not possible. But at the same time, this is not someone that had been sick. For God's sakes, Jeff even found out later the day, earlier that day, he was visiting his brother in the hospital who was sick. Like, so that, like, that kind of shows you where it was. And then you,
I mean, there's, yeah, it is. I mean, it's certain when you get to a certain age, people know, like, you know, it's an ever before everybody, right?
Sure.
But, anyway, but it was because, so we have so much to talk about today, because, I mean, obviously we're going to get into yesterday was a huge day for the NBA.
Yes.
And with implications for the Grizzlies, possibly.
They even had the finals,
big,
too.
Big trade, and we had the finals as well going on yesterday. And Saturday, as we mentioned, big news day globally and locally. We're going to talk about the local stuff on that one. But, yeah, I was out of town for my niece's birthday, and right before I left town, saw the news about Iran, and right when I got back, was right. So my trip was, like, booked in, like, right, but check my phone right before I leave. Saw the global news, get the Fred Smith news. So I was, a lot happening, a lot to process, but we'll talk through some of it today.
We will talk through some of it today. We will, of course, do overreactions to start the show. Then Jason Munns. We also had news on Friday. The plans.
Yeah, interesting notes. Simmons, very interesting notes, yeah.
The plans for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium have been adjusted, I guess.
You're the one who keep saying, like, we'll never get to phase three. They've completely eliminated a phase
three.
But did they take elements from phase three put it in phase two? Or did they just say we're going to go faster? And what did they take away?
So phase three was basically kind of like covering up the party deck with additional seating.
Yeah, okay.
And so what they've done is they've blended... I wouldn't say they truly eliminated phase three, like everything of phase three, but I guess what they did was they took the workable parts of phase three and put them into phase two, and they're calling it a day.
And yep. All right. And they're definitely preparing for more concerts, and even an interesting quote I saw, we'll talk to Munns about this, but he says they want wrestling. I don't know how realistic wrestling is. They didn't call me as Memphis's top expert on professional wrestling on if it's realistic to get professional wrestling at the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium or not.
Have we ever had wrestling in anything bigger? Like, obviously, we had wrestling at the Coliseum.
Right.
We had wrestling at the Pyramid.
Right.
And we've had wrestling at the Forum.
Right. Those would be the places. And then happened at...
Like, local shows, I know, like, we've done some, like, outdoor... But have we ever done... Like, was there ever wrestling at Mud Island? I don't ever recall.
And that wouldn't have been a bigger venue, right? I mean, there's been wrestling like on the river, but like as far as big venues.
I guess there's been some stuff that Barbecue Fest, but that always felt like attraction-y. Like, you know, you were paying to bring somebody in that was kind of doing a promotional appearance. But like, I get the sense of like they would like to have a pay-per-view or, you know, like...
Well, that's what they're talking about. I mean, the quote was we want wrestling. And the only thing that means is do you want one of the major WWF events... I would, or WWE, maybe an AEW something, but there's not many shows that go into that size of a building every year. And they seem to, I don't know. We'll talk about, we'll bring up the Munns, because I know Munns is a wrestling guy
fan as well. Yeah.
He's a wrestling guy as well. So I'd love to talk to him about that a little bit. But that was kind of hidden in the story there. Like once the remodel is done, they're going for it. So. There's going to be a wrestling night at Tiger Lane again this year. I can confirm that. I heard about that.
Yeah, I think it's September. We got the promotions. I want to say it's maybe the third game. I'd have to go back, scroll my email for that.
That'll be outside, yeah.
Yeah, there is going to be a wrestling night at a Tiger game. So we'll get into that with Munns, get his thoughts also on what Ed Scott said on Friday. Then we will get into the list at 3:05. We have a new national champion in college baseball. We'll get to more from the world of sports then. We'll also do a TV timeout during hour number two. I want to also get Kevin's thoughts on how ESPN did now that we've wrapped up the finals, because that seems to be a hotbed of think pieces going on right now. But let's start with that news, because my first overreaction to the news of Fred Smith's passing was, I don't know whatever the highest civic honor that you can give to someone is, but whatever that is, Fred Smith deserves it. Because Kevin had pointed out over the weekend, also, I guess yesterday, it would have had to been yesterday, that they're now beginning the fast track process of getting the airport to be named after Fred Smith. And my first reaction was, is that big enough? because on the one hand, if you think about it, that is probably what the most fitting testimonial to him, right?
Right.
Because, like, in the end,
it's on brand, if you will.
Well, like, I like what Jeff wrote this morning, that think about how much different the city would just sound if we didn't have FedEx planes, you know, throughout the night. Like, think about what your drive into work would be if you weren't just seeing all the FedEx planes landing. And the sounds of Memphis oftentimes is planes, and what a huge part of that is. And, you know, the all the years where Memphis became the number one cargo and freight airport in the entire world. And
yeah, it's still top three, still busiest one outside of China. So and that could change. That could change. I mean, there's like, stuff not being shipped out of China.
I mean, there's always, like, you know, what is the future of everything? Like, I don't know. But yeah, to me,
it could go back up. It could be number one again, but number one in the United States, not even, you know, just, it's not very close.
But like, what are the other options? Like, because Kevin had pointed out, you can name like a street, but like, that doesn't feel significant enough.
Okay, so we were talking about, Fred Smith, a name that obviously, if you've lived in Memphis for any amount of time, you know who he is, right? Go to business school, you should know who he is. But he's not necessarily a household name across the country. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I'm a bit, like, when business celebrities are in my presence, that's when I get, like,
nervous.
That's when I get nervous and be like, where is it? You're like, I don't.
Because this person,
Kardashian could walk in, I wouldn't care. But, like, it was like, if I'm in the same room as Pitt Hyde, like, I am like, whoa, okay, Pitt Hyde is he? Where is he?
Well, there's something about someone being quote unquote famous or has notoriety for something they've done rather than just being good looking.
Right. Well, I mean, the Kardashian, you know,
but
important
saying,
example,
but any celebrity,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
You said sport, any sports celebrity. I was going to say a sports celebrity, and I'm like, you know, whatever, Zeebo, whoever, but I've hosted trivia with Zeebo. Like, there's like, you know, when you interact with the people on a daily basis, so I avoided the sports stuff, but the, let's look at the airport, right? Like, historically in Memphis, at one point in time, Jeffrey, before we were born, the most famous person in the entire world lived in Memphis, Elvis Presley, right?
Yes.
He was the most famous person in the whole world. And I can't ever, you know, understand what it would be like to live in this, you know, like, what if Taylor Swift lived here, you know, right now? This is like, that's crazy. So what did we name after Elvis after he passed? It's just the street that his house was on mainly, right? Elvis Presley Boulevard. That's the only thing. And he is the only name I've ever heard besides Fred Smith's name that would be in consideration for the airport. If we ever named the airport after anybody, it would
and
be
I don't ever
Elvis
really, I
or
don't,
Fred Smith.
I don't ever really remembering a push to name the airport.
There's never
after.
Been that. There's never really been a push. No, there has not. But like, if we were to name it, it was just like, yeah, hey, we're constantly going through, you know, improving the airport. So like, you know, things get tossed around in conversations all the time. Like, should we change? You know, should the name be? So every, you know, not every city. Lots of cities have names. And you sometimes don't really know. What's the Dallas-Fort Worth airport?
DFW.
It's DFW. What's the one that what did I just
get? Love Field?
Charlotte. What's Charlotte? Is
it? Douglas.
There you go. That's the one. I think the ones I always go to is the Douglas something. Like, who's that named after? Who are we naming
this
one after?
I keep wanting to say McDonnell Douglas, but they made planes. But it's like Douglas. I keep saying like Douglas, but now I have like Douglas MacArthur. It's like, no, that was a general. It's Douglas something in Charlotte.
I don't think there is anything better or more appropriate to name him after. Now, I mean, maybe you have some ideas, Jeffrey. Street, like you said, like Elvis Presley Boulevard.
It's just Douglas International.
Named after Benjamin Albert Douglas, who was the mayor who commissioned the airport to begin with.
See, that's,
built it.
All right, so I was trying to go through in my heads the ones that are named after people. So LaGuardia is obviously named after a former mayor.
You have JFK right there, right?
JFK is obviously named Reagan in D.C. John Wayne
that's
is in Orange County.
Yep.
SFO is SFO. LAX is LAX. SeaTac is Seattle-Tacoma. Denver, I think, is just Denver. Right. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Big hubs. O'Hare. I think O'Hare was a mayor.
All right. We have George Bush.
Bush is named after the first president, the first Bush president. That's Herbert Walker. And then I think Hobby. I do not know who Hobby was in Houston.
Of Atlanta, the Atlanta airport. So you've got
Jackson, Hartsfield.
Yeah, Hartsfield or Jackson or whatever. Or like, yeah, that's a big one.
Little O'Hare Rock, might actually be named after the location.
Oh, is it the location?
Really?
I don't know why I thought
O'Hare is the neighborhood that it's
in. It sounds like a person. Maybe the area is named after him, too. Little Rock's airport's name is the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. I guess they did not have the same philosophy as Fred Smith, which is you don't name something after us until we're dead. But
oh, they renamed the whole area. It was named after aviator Edward Butch O'Hare, Navy's first Medal of Honor recipient.
Yeah, I was
in 1949. And why is Midway called Midway?
Midway honors the Battle of Midway.
Okay, well, that explains correct why they're named similarly.
I'm trying to think of the other big airports. So
John Lennon in Liverpool, actually, is an interesting one.
I'm trying.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Heathrow, got no idea with that.
No clue.
Charles de Gaulle, obviously, that one.
Hate that airport.
Yeah, no, that airport sucks, but at least, like, Charles de Gaulle, like, he is a historical figure.
Why is Heathrow named that? I'm looking it up now.
The
London Heathrow.
Also, but see,
that's what it does.
Oh, God. I lost. But we've had to. My last time to Europe, we flew through both Heathrow and De Gaulle. Guess how many bags arrived? We did get one.
Okay. Yeah, you know what?
We got one.
All right.
I won't buzz them for that.
Aaliyah saw all of Europe without luggage. That was. Let me tell you what, boys. You wanna say, like, that's a tough one. When you're going over to Europe for your first time, your wife doesn't have her luggage. I just that was a tough one.
But
it was named for land southeast because it is built on land southeast of a hamlet of Heathrow.
But doesn't it make you think that this is the right thing, right? Because here we are trying to figure it's the right thing because people are like, why is it named? Who is
New Orleans? Is Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, there. That's
for good reason. Obviously.
And that's those type of names are like, okay, well, maybe it could be, you know, there could be an
related to the city somehow. I like that.
I don't think Orlando is Mickey or Disney.
Not yet.
MCO. What does MCO refer to? I thought for some reason Mickey had actually worked their way into there.
To the airport?
There's also something to be said post renovation.
Your name on that, right?
Yeah. Like,
so I wonder if his all the reports are that Fred Smith had a stance of do not name it after me while I'm alive. That is for people after they pass away. And when I'm gone, you can do whatever you want.
And he was never the world's biggest put my name on it.
Right. He was not at all.
Because that was the other thing. I was like, as we were coming out of Live at the Garden after the show, you go by Leftwich and what a beautiful facility that is. And it's like, I don't know how many people know. Like, Fred helped get that over the finish line.
Well,
MCO used to be an Air Force base.
Okay, McCoy. So there we go.
Well, there you go. But so I think the highest honor that we are able to do, I think, as the city would be to name the airport after him. They're supposed to be doing the initial votes tomorrow. I mean, they're wasting no time following the advice of Fred Smith. Like, if you want to do it, but you just got to wait to do it. And maybe a lot of it was his stance. The airport wasn't that great of a place to have your name on before, but now here we go. It does look great. It would be an honor. And like, what else? Like it's the airport. Like that's Fred Smith, right? That's it. It's the busiest cargo airport in America, because of him. And, put it in Frederick W. Smith International Airport. I would like Fred Smith Airport. Why don't we just call it Fred? Can we get the abbreviation?
This is actually the thing though.
Get to Fred.
For locally. Like, because most of the time when we name it after someone, it just takes the last name. Although, like, as you point out with JFK, it takes the initials. But, like, Reagan, if you just call it Smith International, we know what that means.
Right.
But, like, that sounds like the most generic, like, if you were inventing an airport in the Sims universe, like, you'd call it Smith International.
Right.
You go first two initials, F.W. Smith International Airport.
But, like, honestly, I kind of like Fred International Airport. Because, like, there is the moniker of, like, how many, like, a name so generic, like Fred, but everyone knows what that means. And there's also, but, like, to Kevin's point, though, there is, like, there's always a historical element of, like, okay, well, that matters now, but does it matter in 100 years? I do kind of like your idea, F.W. Smith International, but I always feel like everyone just drops the first initials.
Well, then they could just call it F.W.S.
I mean, that's going to be the tricky part. I don't know if you do. You know, the airport code probably does not change.
I would think the airport code says MEM.
And they all stay the same once they're like made. Like that's why Orlando is still MCO for McCoy.
So I think you're just going to have to spell out Frederick W. Smith, because I use it. Smith is too generic, and so is Fred. I mean, you know, we're just, you know, a few years removed of Fred's dollar store, right? So like, there's a Fred. The Fred name is means something now, but what will it mean?
Does anyone have another idea of something bigger? Because like, I think now that I talk through it, I'm kind of in on the airport. Street doesn't feel significant enough to me.
I mean, you'd have to rename Poplar. You know, that's the only thing. Like, there's nothing. You can't rename Winchester because Winchester is a founder of Memphis, and you know, you can't rename where FedEx is, you know, the street FedEx is.
Does Poplar need a rebrand?
It would be a great, but you don't want. Do you want one of the most complained about streets in the city to be named after you?
They talk about it. It'll get talked about.
If the naming could also maybe come with a little bit more funding to maybe instead of by widening Poplar, instead of just repainting the lines and adding an extra lane, like what if we like
it was a widening?
Like what if we actually added a lane to Poplar?
Look, if that couldn't happen while Fred Smith was alive, then I don't know if we're ever going to widen Poplar.
Because what we're really just complaining about the stretch of basically what starting at. Do we say it starts at Yates that we start complaining heading west? Or really, White Station.
Well, either way, like they're definitely. I think Yates. You could say, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so
I think Yates
through. Because I feel like once you get to Midtown, it kind of breathes again.
Until you get to Midtown, like till you get to about that Sonic.
Yeah, so I drive by that every. That's where I drop my daughter off. The first
you drop
Baptist.
Your daughter off at
well,
Sonic.
Well, yeah. We go by Sonic, yeah, and it always is eyeing me. Like, come on, you know you need this morning.
But. I mean, it'd have to be a major street, right? I remember I've had this conversation with Jerry the King Lawler at some point. I was like, if Memphis never names anything after you, what would you want it to be? And he never, he was trying to take the humble approach as well. But I was like, what if it was a street? What street would you want? And he had dibs. I think he had dibs on Warner Grove because he used to live off of Warner Grove. And I was like, that wouldn't be a bad, you know, street to be named after. You're going to get one because I don't, you know, you don't. Want a street that too short, right? You want one, but I mean, you know, Warner Grove's kind of a generic name. You could replace that, but for Fred Smith, like, there's not. I mean, he's got his company name on the most important building in the city, and so you know,
naming the headquarters after him doesn't feel significant enough, even though like I'm sure like that they could easily do that. Like I think that's kind of the bigger problem is. This is such a significant figure in the city. It's like, how do you appropriately tip your cap?
And his name is tied to airplanes and flying the planes, and all of his planes are there, right? Like, it just that's what he is. He's, you know, FedEx. So
we built bigger runways for him,
right? Yeah. So I think his name.
Maybe he built bigger runways for us, one way or the other.
His name needs to be, if it's on there, and it's going to, if anything, educate people about the story that, as Memphians, we all know the amazing story and the amazing life of that Fred Smith had.
A couple of good suggestions. Chris Williams writes in, what about the new bridge? If indeed we build the new I-55 bridge.
There you go. That is.
I like that.
That's something you could do. Because, don't forget about the trucks. Like, we always talk about the FedEx airplanes, but The trucks are a very important part of FedEx growth and continued dominance.
I mainly associate I-40 with trucks than I do I-55, but we already have Hernando de Soto.
Yeah.
But let's be real, we also just have new and old. Like, let's be real.
We have new and old. So that's why you don't want whatever the bridge is going to be, because we know it's Hernando de Soto, but we call it the new and old bridge. Do you want, like, the new bridge, or would we call it the new, like it's like we're on Futurama now, but it would be the new bridge, and we wouldn't call it the technical name. That's just how we are as Memphians.
Yeah, but, I think that's.
And we may not, you know, the airport, you're still going to call the airport generic the airport most of the time. But quite frankly, when you travel, you do see I think it's more to educating and spreading our love for Fred Smith across the world, right?
Yes.
So when people come here, they have to know that this man was important to this
yes.
area. Because we know, and by naming the airport after him, it will only, you know, spread that love and the awareness of Fred Smith and his legacy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. Any other thoughts here, or do we want to actually get to the game?
But is there any chance? Is there any chance the vote goes a different way tomorrow? Like this, the initial vote tomorrow, like is
that feels like that would be
like there's no way they're not going to approve that
shot.
So
it doesn't pass.
I would hope if it was even a question, they wouldn't have fast tracked it.
Right, and I don't see why there would be because there's supposed to be other obstacles, possibly. Right, it's got to be approved by the FAA or somebody's got else has got to approve in the federal government, and I don't think there's many hurdles there. Either. So I think if we want it to happen, which seems like the airport does, this is eventually going to be that. And the name that they floated is Frederick W. Smith International Airport.
Yeah. So I'm with y'all. Okay. Let's get to the game because I think my biggest takeaway was that's one of the weirdest game sevens I've ever watched. In that,
like, yeah.
For many reasons. Number one, the Halliburton injury. Immediately knowing, like when you see him go down, I think it also helps that we've now seen multiple Achilles injuries in the playoffs, and we're now like we knew exactly what that was. Like you could just to him going straight down to the ground, the pain. I've also noticed how ESPN was very liberal in showing us the replays on that one, but it was this weird reality of at first you're thinking, oh, this will. This is it. Like, the Pacers are done. But then it felt like, to me, watching the first half, the Thunder had the weirder adjustment to Halliburton not being in the game than the Pacers did. Where it was like, you're sitting there going like, guys, you're not going to get a better opportunity than this. Like, what are you doing? It felt like they were just kind of like going through the motions and maybe like in the back of their minds, like, all right, now Halliburton's gone. Like, we're cool. Like, let's just, we can kind of coast. But then you get to the half, and the Pacers have found a way to take the lead.
Right.
And it was this weird feeling of, like, are they really going to do this even without Halliburton? And then the third quarter happens.
Like, did you watch that? It was like four plays in a row T.J. McConnell goes and scores, right?
ESPN flashed that stat. It was like since, like, the 8:38 mark. In the third quarter, no Pacer has scored other than TJ McConnell, and they were 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. Like, it was almost an entire quarter's worth of basketball where one person had scored.
And it was TJ McConnell, and I couldn't understand, like, how was the Thunder so dominant all year, and TJ McConnell was able to beat them for about a fourth of the game by himself?
Honestly, I think it's more so a lack of adjustment to his style of play versus their traditional point guard, because this isn't the first time McConnell has done this in that kind of off the bench role where we see Halliburton, a lot of his play is beyond the arc, facilitating that type of thing, whereas McConnell just goes
like
downhill.
McConnell just like lowers his head.
Well, he just goes downhill. I mean, it's very different style.
Was McConnell more impressive than SGA last night? I mean, was TJ more impressive than SGA?
It was this weird thing with SGA where I felt like if you were watching the box score, you thought he was playing worse than he really was.
Right.
Because he was not efficient shooting the ball, but he was really good. And then particularly in the second half, when it felt like the Thunder's entire like MO was just four guys watching SGA. Like that was what was weird was, and then you had the reality of Dagnall wastes the timeout because I think he thought the guy walked with it. Was it Mathurin or Mathurin? Did he walk with it? So he calls for a challenge, but they can't review whether or not he walked. They could just review the foul. That wasted timeout.
Oh, then, on that layup?
Yeah,
that.
Then they couldn't get the ball in. Caruso takes the last timeout. They were going to have like the last 5 minutes without a timeout, and SGA had five fouls. And so then you're thinking, like, if he picks up a sixth, like, what's going to happen here? I don't know. It was one of the stranger game sevens to watch where, like, I felt like the right team won, but I'm not convinced.
I mean, the home team,
right,
with the better record won, but
it was very unsatisfying.
For the NBA, the right team did not win. I mean, I think the NBA having the Pacers win would have been better. When you've got two small market teams up against each other, definitely the most exciting
team. Certainly
the
more fun team would have won.
Right. It would have been better for the NBA. Not that this is terrible for the NBA, because either way, it would have been a new champion for the seventh consecutive year. The ratings just came in,
the fast Nationals.
Yeah, we've got 16.9 million viewers last night for Game 7. After the series had not topped 10 million.
I was going to say that's...
They, in games 1-5, yeah. They didn't even get over 10 million. They had 16.9 last night for Game 7. It was the most watched NBA Finals game in 6 years. Of course, the first Game 7 in the Finals in nine years.
Yeah.
So there's that. But it was bizarre for... Because it was taken away from us, like, pretty quickly. Like,
I mean, what, 6 minutes in?
Yeah, it was like 4 minutes left in the. Was it 4 minutes left? It was 4 minutes through game
like
through.
Six, seven minutes into the game.
It was. Yeah. It was very.
He
fast.
Still finished the night with the. He hit the most 3-pointers.
Really?
Yeah.
Halliburton. I mean, he was the star, the main character of this playoffs, right?
Because I was thinking about in these terms. Am I going to remember the Pacers more than I'm going to remember the Thunder this year?
I think regular season, you remember the Thunder were dominant.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, like, the story of
the year
playoffs.
The year that Halliburton got hurt and.
In a game.
Like, you're going to. That's buried under what your memory is going to be. It's going to be the Pacers made. The year the Pacers made the finals and Halliburton got hurt. Like, you're going to start with that before.
Well, I think this is true. Like, oftentimes you remember postseasons on some type of signature moment. And isn't the signature moment of last night Halliburton going down?
That was a signature for sure. And the other he had the other like highlight moments throughout the playoffs. There's March Madness like moments that he already got to have. Those shining moments, if you will. Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. This Thunder team is just kind of boring. That's the problem. It's not because they're from Oklahoma. And SGA is great, but I know he was making shots, you know, but it was not in a memorable way, you know, when they were going down and watching the game. But like, there was something about this Thunder team. Like,
it's like they get the turnovers and they're go, go, go. And it's like they were getting turnovers and they were just trying to slow it down. It was like they thought they were playing with a 20-point lead in the second quarter and they were trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
And then they get to the half and they're down.
And I mean, they obviously ended up the Pacers played like very impressive effort by the Pacers throughout the entire postseason. Without a doubt, your questioner, like, we're going to remember the Pacers out of this. I think the biggest loss, as you're looking at last night, where we had, yes, sure, we lost out on this potential Game 7, the Pacers winning on the road. It would have been a moment, you know. They would have been guaranteed to win if Halliburton played the entire game. But like, we lost out on that. But the biggest thing we lost out on now is Halliburton next season. This guy, what was he going to carry on with this with Nell? This like mojo that he has, like he the star power and respect that he has now across the association. You just saw all the tweets coming in when he went down. Yep. They were, you know, and they were showing them on ESPN. So like, we're going to miss out because he's going to be out for maybe the entire season. I mean, and how does that impact the Pacers' playoff positioning for next season? And that to me is the bigger loss last night. And I wonder, you know, was that the chance? Like, did the Thunder, because now they've been in this situation, will they play as scared going into the future? Is that a thing that they can overcome, or did playing in this situation overcome it, or did they really win too much too soon? You know, there's a lot going in with the Thunder storylines, and let's look at the trends. 7 years. So who's going to win it next year? What team has not won the past 7 years? That's who I'm picking to win next year.
So we'll talk about that more during hour number two, but let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Munns is going to join the program. He was at Ed Scott's media availability back at Friday about Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Also, we got some comments from Ed about revenue sharing. We also now have a Pac-12 kind of TV deal, but we've also had the commercial appeal, have some financial stories about the University of Memphis. So I want to talk about all that with Munns when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Yeah. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. He was at Ed Scott's media availability on Friday. So I guess, Munns, let's start there because obviously these were two different plans. But I do remember once upon a time when Laird Beach was revealing the new stadium, there was the idea of, listen, to maximize the stadium, we've got to get to phase three. We've learned that we will not be doing a phase three. To the best of your understanding, how much of phase three is being blended into now phase two for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium?
Honestly, it's been quite a while since I've studied the complexities, the specifics of each phase. But generally, I know there are some things that, were sort of done away with. There were some things it was at least a couple of things that were either added or enhanced from the original plans and then combined into one phase. So technically it's not going to be a three-phase project now. Last July that they started on phase two, which was the demolition of the I think it was the west side.
We had the camera. I want to say it was August. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was August. So, that started last year, last summer, toward the end of last summer, and like Ed said, that they're still on time for a, what was it, August 2026 completion. So even though they're combining the phases, it doesn't change the timeline. But some of the key things that he talked about that were, like either, like I said, either added or enhanced, were have to do with the tunnel and the sort of addition of a full scale kitchen. Like, he talked a lot about this kitchen. It sounds a little like, if you think about it, if you don't think too much about it, if you take it at just face value, it sounds like, well, why is that such a big deal? But he went to great lengths to talk about how like the way things were before, number one, logistically, but also practically, to get food to and from the stadium that was, you know, that was hot and fresh and quality for the suites, was very, very cumbersome, process. And this will do away with that. So everybody who's in the suites or has access to the suites or whatever, they've got access to their own kitchen that's going to be, feeding them during games and during events. And so, And then there's the main scoreboard that's not going anywhere, but then there's like a 70-yard long sort of
video oversized with LED, like the ribbon.
Your ribbon, yeah. Ribbon's the terminology, I believe. Yeah,
it's like an oversized ribbon scoreboard that's going to go about 70 yards from the 15 to the 15 on the once the west side is erected.
I guess the other aspect of this is, now that the school owns it, they are getting into the concert business.
Yep. I mean, that was one thing that I remember, was being bandied about from the beginning, is that, the Liberty Bowl, what was once the Liberty Bowl and is now Citizens Bank Liberty Stadium, once upon a time, was a concert venue. And, it's been, I forget what, didn't they say U2 was the last one? I think it was back in the 90s or something.
I honestly thought it might've been Rattle and Hum.
Yeah, it's been a while, quite a while. And now that the school owns it.
So the last one is actually, yes, you were correct. It was U2. In 97 with Rage Against the Machine opening. Right before that, they had a Rolling Stones and a Paul McCartney concert the year before.
Nice.
And then Van Halen played in 88. My mom was still pregnant with me then.
In 88. Okay.
July of 88.
Van Halen 88. Would that have been... That's
Hagar, right?
Yeah, I think that's right at the very beginning of Sammy Hagar's residency with with Van Halen, which, I mean, yeah, that's not a bad time, I guess.
I just think of it as two different bands. I think it's a good band.
I get that. But the rest of them were still kind of in their prime. Like, they hadn't yet started the easing into the back half of their career yet, of their existence as a band. So that would have been a pretty neat show, but not as neat as if you'd have seen them in 1981, but still neat nonetheless. But yes. So Ed Scott, Memphis athletic director, went to great lengths to explain sort of how, he said, the bar none, the most proud aspect of this renovation project, what he's most proud of is the tunnel. Like, that was the reason it got to a point where they couldn't host concerts at the Liberty Bowl anymore, because modern productions could not move in and out of the stadium, like, with all the equipment and everything that goes along with a modern concert. Like, they could not move in and out logistically. And apparently he didn't go into super deep specifics, but apparently it took a lot of wrangling. It was quite a process. Ed made it seem like, with, working with the city and Mayor Paul Young to get to a point where they could make this, the changes to the tunnel you know, the necessary changes to the tunnel so that they can actually do more than just host football games. And I mean, you know, like that, it, it helps everybody. It helps the university. It helps the city when you have, when you're able to host big events like that. And Chris Brown is going to be the first one in October.
Yeah, I appreciate the optimism, I guess. And you can't do the concerts without the tunnel, so it's good to have there, right? But I do wonder what type of shows they'll be able to attract. There is, I can see, look, the reason, part of the reason Memphis has IKEA here is because it's located next to Arkansas. It is the IKEA of Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, right? Because of where it's located. So could you draw in acts that are going to draw from Arkansas and from Mississippi and other parts of the state to come in and see a concert? It's possible for these stadium shows, I would think. But something else that was interesting in that article, I know, Munns, it's of interest to you as well, that I saw he mentioned, Ed Scott was mentioning professional wrestling. And yeah, and this one to me, I feel like this is a pipe dream, maybe a little uninformed plan here by the university, because I don't think that there is a professional wrestling show that would come to the former Liberty Bowl. What are your thoughts here on that?
Yeah, I mean, they don't do too many outdoor shows as it is anymore these days, really, professional wrestling. And if they do, it's going to be a big, you know, one of, what do you call them?
The big four, what are we calling them? They're like
the big premium live events.
Yes.
There you go, PLEs, premium live event. So, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, you never want to say never, but it does seem unlikely that that Memphis would get a Royal Rumble or a...
It'd be too cold, right? You don't have, it's not a dome. Unless they added a dome to the phase, and I missed it in the announcement last week.
That would be another $500 to $600 million.
And then SummerSlam would be way too hot.
But they did a SummerSlam in Nashville, so, I mean, it's not wild to think, but they're doing SummerSlam two nights. They're not going to spend two nights in Memphis, unfortunately, right? They're doing a MetLife Stadium this year, and SummerSlam's going to be two nights. Maybe a Money in the Bank. They just moved to that. Like,
is AEW doing stadium shows? Because I feel like, yes, every time they do pay-per-views, I feel like they're always in big arenas.
Well, they've got one next month. Their biggest, their WrestleMania is all in. And it's going to be a Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. I believe that's where the Rangers play.
Globe Life Field is now the baseball stadium. Globe Life Park is the artist formerly known as the ballpark in Arlington, I think.
Would Memphis / Arkansas / Mississippi, Tennessee support AEW to that level? I don't know.
Right. That's what
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not the appropriate person to ask because I always felt like AEW was cheating on Vince. And since he owns my brain and, you know, I have Stockholm syndrome, I can't do it.
Hey, Vince, don't worry about cheating. Why are you worried about cheating?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the relationship we had. Like, I don't know. Like, Yeah, but I mean, like, it feels, I mean, I get it. There are other, like,
no, ways. Memphis' point is, like, it's Memphis is not necessarily, Memphis is definitely not an AEW market per se. They've got to be in a very certain part of the country where there's enough people that can come to it because they're so new and they have their following. And in WWE, like, it's not going to be, there's not going to be a WrestleMania at Simmons. Probably not SummerSlam now under the new double night setup. Money in the Bank, they're starting to do at arena and at stadiums and ballparks, maybe. So you could maybe get a WWE show if things start trending down. The current state of wrestling, where wrestling is very popular, but if stuff starts trending down, then they're going to do less stadium shows. So, like, I don't think you're ever going to be able to get it. Like, you're going to have it become not as popular as it is right now. But then they're going to do less stadiums, and you're going to be stuck in an endless.
And Munns, don't you feel like now under whatever, in the Endeavor umbrella or whatever they're under, it feels like now they're going like the F1 route where it's like they want to do their biggest shows in like the biggest markets. Like everything's like, feels like a glamour thing.
Yes, that is. I wholeheartedly agree with that. That the PLEs, you know, are going to be reserved for the,
I mean, they just took this, they just took Mania away from New Orleans to put it back in
a
Vegas.
Super Bowl, like, city of, like, Super Bowl cities. Correct. They took it away from them to bring it back to Las Vegas. Like, they're following the money right now.
Exact next year.
Right. The one coming up. But hey, too bad the renovations aren't done. They're not done yet, right, Munns? They're not done. There's this next August because WWE might need a home for the pay-per-view this weekend.
That's true.
With all the stuff going on in the Middle East. They're supposed to be in Saudi Arabia this weekend. We could have stepped up and offered to host the event here, but...
Yeah, no, the work still, 12, 11 months out still from being done. But, you know, it's not, there's concerts, there's football, there's wrestling, but, you know, Ed also made sure to mention, like, motocross, monster truck.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good thing that they have got this tunnel thing solved so that,
The option's there.
They are in the live events business now.
The option's there because it wasn't there. But I do wonder if some of it is too little, too late, or were we too close to it? Because there was a time where we felt like renovating the Liberty Bowl was going to be enough to get an NFL team. But, like, you just had to build a new stadium. Like, they needed a completely new stadium. That's what we needed.
Jacksonville and Charlotte tore down stadiums, built new ones.
Right.
They got the football teams.
Right. So could this also just be a little, like, we think it's going to be nice, and it's definitely going to be an upgrade, but is it going to be nice enough to get that stuff that we haven't been getting? We'll see.
I mean, if all they do is add the ability to host concerts, then they're a step ahead of where they have been.
That's fair.
Without question.
So, you know, if Chris Brown is the first one, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that's going to draw a nice crowd.
And I saw I think you reshared it on Twitter, Munz. I think I saw that, like, Ed Scott was replying to somebody tweeting about getting Music Fest over there or something, right? Like, bring back Music Fest.
Yeah. Ed doesn't use, you know, he's not a prolific poster. And so usually when he does, you kind of perk up I think he might be teasing to something there. So, but and if that's the case, then again, like, you know, it's better than what it was. It's better than, you know, Liberty Bowl, Southern Heritage Classic, and Tiger Home and Showboats and Tiger Home football games.
It's wild that it's taken this. Like, what was the city doing? Why did they should have tried to upgrade that a long time ago? The fact that there's not a kitchen there is bananas to me. But anyway, like, have we been running the Liberty Bowl? There's not a kitchen. What's going on?
I know. Well, it you know, they had to wait on the state to be convinced to put up some money, and once that happened, they were off and running.
All right, the other things that I wanted to get to you with, Jonah has written over at, he's got two stories up over at commercialappeal.com. One is about how Memphis led the way from all G5 schools for money received in 23-24, right at $11 million. And then also the other story that he has is the power conferences generated over that exact same time frame $3.2 billion more than the G5 schools did. Do you have a way, like, when you, I almost think sometimes a number gets so big that it makes it difficult for, like, people to process it. Have you thought of a good way of explaining just how significant this gap is?
No, because I don't think you can. Like, when the number gets that large, it's very difficult to put into words exactly how significant that gap is. But, I mean, really what it boils down to in my mind is, like, these are what Jonah reported today and wrote about at commercialappeal.com this is not a surprise. It should not be a surprise. Like, this has been this is the direction things have been going for a very long time. And, but what this does is, like it paints the picture. It paints a more complete picture for everybody. Like, how long have we been talking about and hearing about, you know, the gap's only getting wider, the haves and the have-nots, the gap is only getting wider and wider and wider. And it's like, we kind of beat that into the ground so much that it almost became white noise. And to
me, people tuned out. Yeah, I agree.
What this does is it fills in the X's and the O's. It fills in the blanks and lets you know how, you know, like, staggering that gap that we've all been talking about for so long actually is. And so, you know, I think that's what's most important about this. I do not think that it's it's not an easy proposition to try and like accurately explain without, I mean, I think the best way to explain what we're talking about is just by putting the numbers out there. $3.2 billion more than the group of five. And it's probably only going to get worse as these media rights deals keep getting, you know, adjusted and renegotiated over time.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.